nothing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. And sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in that blood. Well, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Well, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Again.
Well, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Where is it?
In the precious blood of the Lamb.
We'll get it right.
I say we'll get there. We get it eventually.
In your chorus book, oh, let's go to page number. What? Oh, go ahead, please. Yes.
All right. Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Chronicles 16, 34 to 36. Probably. Oh, no, it's not on the screen. Page 651 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out. Save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name,
yes,
that we may glorify your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Sing it, say it with me again. Then all the people, said, Amen,
Amen,
and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Praise God. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another day that you've added unto our lives. We never want to take it for granted, Lord Jesus. It is one day at a time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be in your house, the place you have provided for the saints of God to gather together this morning, Father. Let all that is said and done bring glory to your name, Lord, as we commit the service into your hands. Touch our lives, Lord, as we touch you. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Amen. If you have your chorus books, okay, number one is what we are going to sing next, and it's You Are My All in All. Sing it with us this morning, okay? Now get the right key.
Appreciated.
Wow, huh?
At first I thought, man, I am way out of tune. I was like,
sing it with us this morning. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Well, Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy.
taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Sing it, church, amen.
Well, Jesus, the Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, well, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Well, Jesus, well, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name.
Singing, church. Good singing. We got one more we're going to do. It's in the hymnal, I believe.
Yep,
right?
We're in the red hymnal to number 554.
All right.
I'll Fly Away.
Oh, yes. How many know there's a day we're going to be leaving this old earth? Right on. We don't know when, but we know it's coming. Yeah. Right on. It's some glad morning. Let's sing it, huh? Okay. Ready? Well, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Well, to a home on God's celestial shore, well, I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away. Well, of glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when to a land where joy shall never end.
You'll notice from your order of worship, we're going to continue singing some more right now. So make sure you have your red hymnal, your purple chorus book ready to go. I want to welcome all of our online visitors. Thank you for coming and visiting with us or worshiping with us if you are one of our regulars. You're always part of our church family. We're so thankful that you're with us today. If you do have a home hymnal, make sure you have it with you. And when you hear the music starting again in just a moment, please sing with us. Before we go to that, very, very quickly, one announcement I want to share with you folks is we did have our church's annual meeting this past week. If you are not able to be with us, but you would like a copy of the church's annual report, copies are available for you to pick up in the foyer before you leave today if you haven't gotten one already. So I want to let you know about that. And then I just want to make sure that everybody is clear with regards to our winter schedule in the event of a potential cancellation. We've already had to do it once this year, a couple of weeks ago. That will always be on the church website, truememorial.org. That's the first place you'll always want to go to find out if there's a cancellation. Also, we'd like to send out emails to everybody to let you know through that avenue also. So please, please make sure that we do have your correct and up-to-date email address. And that is a very important means of us communicating with you. Whether it is a cancellation, a prayer request, or anything else, we want you to know right away. All right, that being said, hymnal, chorus book in hand, let's sing, let's continue to worship some of your favorites. What would you like to sing today, Pastor Al?
Amen. Ah, I knew that hand was going to be up when I stood up. You know that? And I know what song it is already. What page is it?
Well, it's one of two.
Yeah.
Lord Be Glorified in the Chorus Book, number 33.
Number 33 in the Chorus Book. Number 33, and if you're watching today, the song we are going to be singing is, hang on a second, I'm working at it. Okay. Lord Be Glorified. So sing it along with us if you, you know, if you're watching today, and let's just sing it unto the Lord. I like this song. Amen. Yes. Sing it, amen. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, the Lord, be glorified today. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. 380. Pardon? 380? Okay, in the songbook today. 380. Hmm. 380. Let's see what we got here today. You know, I almost chose that song to sing today for special. But I chose a different one, but I'm glad you chose that one. I love this song. I really do. Just a Closer Walk with Thee is what we're going to be singing. Please sing along with us, please, and enjoy just worshiping the Lord in music today. Sing it unto the Lord.
Keep me from all wrong. Well, I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Oh, just a closer walk with Thee. Oh, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Oh, when my feeble life is o'er, oh, time for me will be. Oh, just a closer walk with Thee. Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Good song. Yes. 719. Really, a reading. Yeah, we can do that. 719, huh? In the hymnal, please. It's a reading. Okay, we can do that. Wow. Ah, come here. How'd you like that, folks? Did you like that, huh? Touche.
I knew you were going to do that. How can I read and hug you too? In all sincerity, we praise you, Father. We praise Thee, O God. We acknowledge Thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship Thee, the everlasting. To Thee all angels cry aloud. The heavens and all the powers herein, to Thee cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabbath. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of Thy glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise Thee. The godly fellowship of the prophets praise Thee. The noble army of martyrs praise Thee. O Holy Church, throughout all the world doth acknowledge Thee, the Father of an infinite majesty, Thine adorable, true, and only Son, also the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. When Thou tookest upon Thee to deliver man, Thou dost humble Thyself to be born of a virgin. When Thou dost overcome the sharpness of death, Thou dost open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Thou sittest at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that Thou shalt come to be our judge. We therefore pray Thee, help Thy servants, whom Thou hast redeemed with Thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered among the saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save thy people and bless thy heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify thee, and we worship thy name forever, world without end. Vouchsafe, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us as we trust in thee. O Lord, in thee have I trusted. Let me never be confounded.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, I see a hand right up there, back row. 186 in the hymnal, right?
Yes.
186. I like that song too, right on. Good choice. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to mine. So I'll cherish at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died, and it to find me. So I'll change till my trope is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear, till he call me someday to my home far away,
still my throne, fears at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. One more. One more. What you got, young lady? 425? All right. One more here. 425. Let's see what that is this morning. Oh, yes. If you're watching, we're going to be singing In the Garden, page 425 in our hymnals. And let's sing it unto the Lord this morning. Would you all stand? Let's just sing this. Give you a rest here to stand up. And we'll let you sit for a long time after. How's that?
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses.
Singing this morning, friends. Thank you for lifting up your voices in worship and song. It's always encouraging to hear the family of God, the church of God coming in my ear, and so encouraging. Gentlemen, join me up front at this time, if you will. Let's prepare to take up our morning offering, and those of you who are joining us at home, you can join us also for our morning offering. You found us this morning via the church's website. Right on that website, there is a link for Tithely, and you also can worship with us in this way, so please do so. In the text of the Old Testament, as we read through the myriad of sacrificial offerings that the children of Israel would bring to God, The number of those offerings we read often of a pleasant aroma unto the Lord. My prayer is that our offering unto the Lord today, oh, not with bulls and goats. No, we don't do that anymore. We have one final, finished, perfect sacrifice for our sins. His name is Jesus. But my prayer is that our offering, our financial offering today unto the Lord would be a fragrant aroma unto Him, to the glory of His name. Lord Jesus, as we take just this moment to stop and to consider what we are about to do, this very important, tangible act of worship, oh Lord, I pray that it would be fragrant in Your sight. Lord, that it would bring glory unto Your name. Lord, that the saints would be blessed. And Lord, we will bless Your name. Lord, our prayer is that these resources in this church body, in this community, for a time such as this, would be used for the furtherance of Your kingdom work and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I just pray You would use these gifts for Your purposes. And Lord, help us to be wise stewards of all the blessings You've given to us. Your blessings upon our morning offering, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, one more song this morning. I've chosen to sing, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." Interesting. But I did want to give you a scripture verse to go along with that this morning. And the Word of God says in Luke 1:37, it's a place where the angel is addressing Mary and telling Mary about her cousin Elizabeth, who's with child, and herself that is going to be with child. And the Word of God says in verse 37, it says, "For with God nothing is impossible." Say that with me. With God, there is nothing impossible. For with God, there is nothing impossible. So listen to this song, and if you know it and you want to sing it with us, please do. I appreciate this group putting up with me. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With His arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret. While the chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Well, was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Well, do not be disheartened, for I have news for you.
don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With His arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can
do. It again in the chorus, okay?
It is no secret what God can do.
Amen.
What He's done for others.
Amen.
He'll do for you. With His arms wide open, He'll pardon you. And it is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Good job, guys. Thank you.
That was some good singing this morning, everybody. Thank you so much. That is so very encouraging. Hey, Ephesians and chapter 6. Find your way in the sacred text with me this morning, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to get there in just a few moments. This morning, by means of your selections, we have been singing choruses and songs that have this particular theme in it. One of them, for example, was number one in our chorus book, and that started off with the lyrics, "You are my strength when I am weak." And then we sang number 380 in our hymnal. We just sang that one a moment ago. And the lyrics there began, "When I am weak, thou art strong." Seems to be a theme running there. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, gracious Lord, ever present, omnipotent, all glorious, all powerful. Lord, it is in your name that we gather in this holy and set apart place today to worship your name. We have sung praises unto you, Lord. We have lifted up the precious name of Jesus. Oh Lord, to you be all the glory. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first. And Lord, thank you for your word that you have given to us, this source of life unto us that points to the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Savior. And we thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb. We know it does not cover our sin, it removes our sin. It forgives us of our sins and brings us into a right relationship with you, our Creator, our Maker, our Redeemer. Thank you. Oh, thank you for Jesus. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, your ever-precious word, with its unfathomable truths, oh, Lord, I just pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us, speak with us, encourage us, oh, Lord, I pray, in time we have in the study of your word today. Oh, the blessing that this is unto us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If we were to evaluate theologians, past or present, I think we would find key words, key terms, repetitive words that their theological systems are based upon. So, for example, if you were to pick up the works of the great John Calvin, Calvin was a French theologian back in the 16th century, in the days of the Protestant Reformation. Ministered and lived in Geneva, Switzerland. And if you were to read through the works of the great Calvin, you would come across the little turn of the phrase over and over and over again, divine sovereignty. That is where much of his thought was. Another theologian, his name was Jacob Arminius. Jacob Arminius, also a Reformation scholar, Dutch Reformed minister, pastor. His views became the basis of a theological system that we call Arminianism. One of the core focuses of Jacob Arminius was free will. He wrote about that over and over again. Another theologian, I think you're probably a little more familiar with this fella, simply goes by the name Paul. And if you were to read his writings, the one dominant theme that you will read in the writings of the Apostle Paul is the little turn of the phrase, in Christ, in the Lord, in Him, in the Beloved. And Paul's entire system of theological thought was based in and around the person of Christ. It was his passion. Over 200 times in the New Testament, you will find that little turn of the phrase, in Christ, or in Him, or in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, join me there if you will. We're going to end up in Ephesians chapter 6 today, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, one of Paul's prison letters. Chapter 1, verse 6 talks about how we have been blessed. Look, it says, in the Beloved. Chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Chapter 1, verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. Chapter 1, verse 13, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit. You can see very clear, and it goes on and on. This very Christocentric way of looking at life in Jesus. In Jesus. Now, a little turn of the phrase, in Him. I'm going to ask you to go to Ephesians chapter 6 with me, if you will. I begin this way today, with in Him, or in the Lord, and that statement, because it relates to our sermon topic that we are considering on Sunday mornings these days, which is the unseen realm and spiritual warfare. Because we find the little turn of the phrase, in the Lord, or in Christ, there again also. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10 with me. Here he says, finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of His might. Friends, the warfare that is before the Christian today is a very, very real warfare. And it is never to be fought in our own strength, in our own devices, but in Christ alone. He is the one who provides for us. We've heard before, you'll hear it again today, and you'll hear it again in the weeks to come. We do have a defeated enemy. His defeat came at the cross. When he and his horde of demons thought that they had won the victory, only to discover that that was not the end of the story. For 3 days later, the storyline also contained an empty tomb. We have a defeated enemy. We looked at that last week. But also, let us make no mistake about it with regards to our enemy, what the scripture reveals about him. For the scriptures also call this defeated enemy, in John chapter 12, verse 31, the ruler of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 also calls him the God of this age. And Ephesians 2:2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. And this is a description and highlights for us the capacity and the inclination to deceive. Anybody at all who ever questions those biblical truths simply has to look at the world in which we live today, where godlessness and perversion and depravity and wickedness runs rampant, and the things, the precious things of Christ, are so often trampled underfoot. All to say, spiritual warfare is a very real thing. There is an unseen realm out there that you and I cannot see with the natural eye. But please, let us make no mistake about it. There is an unseen realm out there where the Bible tells us that rulers and authorities, where cosmic powers are playing a very significant role in this ever-present darkness. There are spiritual forces out there today, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, and a realistic view of life demonstrates that this is true. The scriptures tell us so. However, the Christian has also been given tools. He has been equipped for the warfare that we are a part of today. And these are God-given, God-ordained tools and weapons and armor in which to engage the enemy and against the schemes of the devil. But before we consider these enemy forces, and we'll do that in detail, and before we consider the entirety of this armor, and I promise we will do that in detail, first and foremost, at the very beginning, Paul tells the ancient Ephesians in verse 10, he tells them to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And yes, our victory in this present warfare is in Christ, or as this passage says, in the Lord. Paul has such a discerning heart. These dear saints in Ephesus at this time are living in the midst of spiritual warfare themselves. They knew exactly what this stuff lived like. It was in their faces every day. It was knocking at their doors, and this was the zip code that they lived in. They also knew of spiritual warfare. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn back with me to the book of Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 19. The context of Acts 19 is the Apostle Paul's third missionary journey. He finds himself in Ephesus on this particular day. I'm going to begin at verse 11 after the storyline begins at verse 1. And it runs to the, you know, the length of the chapter. But we're just going to cut in the middle of it, verse 11. And let's take a quick little peek at some of the spiritual warfare that is going on in Ephesus. And it does seem that demonic activity was ever present in Ephesus. Verse 11, take a look at just some of the things that were happening there. This is Acts 19, verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims." The seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on him, mastered all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon all of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced the magic arts brought their books together. They burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them, and they found it to come to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. So what's the spiritual warfare that we're dealing with just in the city of the Ephesians? Well, things that they would have been acquainted with, I don't know about you, but four times in this text I read of evil spirits that formed part of the storyline. We also read about large numbers of them who had once practiced the magic arts. Some of your versions will read sorcery, okay? And they had books, volumes, numerous books. They had a significant inventory in their library of books on these magic arts and on sorcery. And the scripture even gives to us a financial figure that's attached to it. 50,000 pieces of silver. That's significant. If you are here today and you read the New Living Translation, for example, they kind of put this monetary value in terms of dollars. Of course, the dollar was not their medium of exchange back then. But in modern day language, the New Living Translation says the value of the books was several million dollars. That's a fair chunk of change. Even by today's dollars. Did the Ephesian Christians know about spiritual warfare? Folks, it was in their faces every day. Very much like it is ours. In our faces every day. And we don't have time, but if you were to read through the entirety of Acts chapter 19, the remainder of the chapter, you would read of a riot that takes place there in the city of Ephesus over a goddess. Her name is Artemis, or some of your versions may say the goddess Diana. Same thing. In the city of Ephesus, there was a great temple devoted to her honor and her worship. And part of the great temple of Artemis was worship that included sexual immorality. Actually, ritual prostitution is what happened within the walls of that very unholy temple. They worshipped her through ritual prostitution, if you can believe that. Did the Ephesians know of spiritual warfare in the heavenly places? Friends, it was in their faces every day. They lived it every day. And it would form a very significant part of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It was spiritual warfare. So Paul begins his comments on warfare to this young church, I think, with a very discerning heart. He wants to prepare them for this battle that they would have to wage, that you and I would have to wage. And he's going to write words of encouragement. He's going to write words of comfort. They're going to need strength for this battle, but the strength would not be their own. It would be the Lord's strength and what he can provide for them in spiritual warfare. So once again, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord. It should not surprise us that when we pick up actually any part of Scripture, Old or New Testament alike, that the Lord has spoken of it as being our strength. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, for example, he is called the strength of Israel. The psalmist in Psalm 144, verse 1, this one, David says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength and my rock." In the New Testament, John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "From apart from me, you can do nothing." It's all wrapped up in him, in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, out of the New King James Version. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." Same verse, New American Standard. "Not that we are adequate in ourselves so as to consider anything as having come from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." So now back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I think Paul's wanting to support and encourage and comfort these relatively young believers in Christ. They haven't been around all that long. And right out of the gate, he wants them to know that as they face spiritual warfare, as you and I will face spiritual warfare today, friends, our strength is in Christ. It is not anything that I bring to the table. It is through Christ alone in the warfare that we will battle today. Now, can you imagine with me, if you will, these dear saints, they probably have not been believers all that long, probably less than 10 years for sure, probably quaking in their sandals. The enemy is so strong. The enemy is so numerous. There are so many of them. They're so well equipped. And they themselves are so weak, so vulnerable, raw recruits to the faith. I wonder if they ever felt hopeless. I wonder if they ever felt helpless. What can I do to affect change in any way in the world and the culture in which I live today? Have you ever thought that to yourself with regards to the godlessness of which we live in today? Is there anything I can do to affect change in the world in which we live in today, this world of spiritual battles and spiritual warfare? And yes, I know our enemy is a defeated foe, that is for certain. But I must also say, please never underestimate the power of the devil. I think there's a reason why he's compared to a lion. Sometimes he's compared to a dragon. I don't think this is just hyperbole. I don't think this is just over-exaggeration or it's in the text for fun. Jesus calls him in John 10:10 the thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is a formidable enemy, a defeated foe for sure, but a formidable enemy, intelligible, subtle, and we fight against the wiles of the devil. And he is a master at temptation. He is a master at accusations. As a matter of fact, he is called the accuser of the brethren. And he is a master at lying. His native tongue is lying. He is the master deceiver. He masquerades as an angel of light. And because of his godless activity, we witness even today spiritual warfare with ever-growing intensity on so many fronts. I think the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, tells us of what this godlessness and this depravity looks like in real life. And he'll call it out. And in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." Listen. "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, though they have denied the power." Are you kidding me? That reads like today's newspaper. And friends, what we're witnessing today, what we're witnessing are the birth pangs of the moral darkness of the days of Noah. Jesus in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." And Christianity, oh God help us, but Christianity on so many different fronts today is becoming corrupt. It is embracing compromise. It is embracing conformity. There are those who are trying to make the church look like the world. And so many different forms of Christianity today, with its weak and anemic message of health and wealth, prosperity. Where else but in America can you find such stuff as that? The numbers, the emphasis are on numbers and popularity at the expense of faithfulness. And while pursuing a form of high octane entertainment, when God's people come together, at the horrible expense of faithful Bible exposition. One book at a time, one chapter at a time, one verse at a time. Sometimes we go one word at a time. Oh Lord, help us to be faithful and never compromising ourselves to the things and the ways of the world. In these days today, in these days of spiritual warfare, in the unseen realm, I think one of the exciting things that we can notice happening today, we talk about this all the time, is the convergence of prophecy statements and its acceleration, the likes of which I have never seen before. What I mean by that is simply words of prophecy from Scripture as it relates to the second coming, the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, are coming together. Oh, maybe not just one passage here and one passage there. Friends, they're all coming together. They're coming together. All of them points to the soon, soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an imminent event. There are wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, deceptions, beginnings of sorrows. Listen to the way, once again, Jesus puts it in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8. "And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed. Those things must take place first." That's not the end yet. "For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." It's not the main event just yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And then, oh my, you watched the news just this week? The intrigues of a global cabal. They're trying to take nations down the path of economic, of infrastructure, of social chaos that is all leading towards a one world totalitarian government. And we're told this will be good for us. Give me a break. This is the government of the Antichrist. With his single one world currency and his insatiable thirst for control, the masses must be controlled. And behind it, as we speak of the unseen realm, behind all of this are the characters who are the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Spiritual things are happening today in the unseen realm. And folks, they are exploding all around us in mind-numbing fashion. A man turns away from Scripture alone to find these new quasi-revelations. And even Christians are following these new prophets and their sensational truths, things that the Bible does not yield. And the internet, be ever so careful on the internet. And not just with the lies that you know are lies, I'm even talking about those things that come under the auspices of the garb of Christianity. Be ever so careful with social media, with things on YouTube, these new visions from the Lord. Friends, if you want to know what God has said, if you want to know what God is planning, if you want to know what is coming next, you crack open this volume right here. This is where he has revealed himself in his word. And he has spoken loud and clear. We do not need to add to it. We certainly will not take away from it. And this volume is sufficient in all that it reveals to us. With regards to warfare, with regards to battles, and our strength being in the Lord and from the Lord and of the Lord, it's all throughout the text, Old and New Testament alike. Can I give you just a couple of examples? Thank you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Your finger is in Ephesians 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let me throw a few of them out to you. In this context, a Judean king by the name of Jehoshaphat is going to be attacked one day. And he sees the coming invading army. They're close at hand. Look what it says about this particular battle, this particular warfare. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 starts off the storyline. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "Oh, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea." That'd be on the other side of the Dead Sea. Today, this would be like the country of Jordan, okay? "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are the Hazaz Engedi," okay? I've been to Engedi. It ain't that far from Jerusalem, okay? Half-hour bus drive. All to say, Jehoshaphat can see them lining up. All right? And Jehoshaphat was afraid to set his face to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judea. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the tribes of the city, they came to seek his face. And go down to verse 13. "Meanwhile, all Judah stood up before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehoshaphat." Verse 15, and he said, "Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position. And see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. And they would be victorious that day. Let me throw another one out to you. This is a battle that has not yet happened. It's recorded for us in the text of the Old Testament, Ezekiel 38, 39. You've probably heard before, and from this pulpit for sure, the upcoming battle of Gog and Magog. There is an upcoming battle. Israel's enemies have surrounded her. They have surrounded her today. They are against God's people. They want its ultimate destruction. They don't want just more land. They're not interested in a two-state solution, though that may flow from their lips. They want the utter destruction of God's people. And there's a day that is coming when this battle will take place, and God will reveal himself to them, and their rescue and their victory will not come from the Israeli Defense Forces. It will not come from the Israeli Air Force even. It will come from the hand of God. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 14. This is it. This is still yet on God's prophetic calendar. This day is still yet coming. Therefore, son of man, prophesy. This is Ezekiel 38, 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, he's the leader who's coming up from the north, okay? Thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people are dwelling securely, will you not know it? You will come from your place out of the uttermost parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great host, a mighty army. You will come against my people Israel like a cloud covering the land. In the latter days, I will bring you against my land. Why? That the nations may know me. When through you, O Gog, I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I spoke in former days by my servant the prophets of Israel, who in those days prophesied for years that I would bring you against them? But on that day, the day that Gog shall come against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, my wrath will be roused in my anger. For in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath, I declare, on that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the ground, and all the people who are on the face of the earth shall quake at my presence. And the mountain shall be thrown down, the cliffs shall fall, and every wall shall tumble to the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my holy mountains, declares the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Look, this is how he's going to do it, verse 22. With pestilence and bloodshed I will enter into judgment with him, and I will rain upon him and his hordes and the many peoples who are with him torrential rains and hailstones, fire and sulfur. I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This will be God's victory for his covenant people. He still has a plan for the nation of Israel. Let me give you one more, and I'm going to end with this one. This one is in Revelation chapter 19. This is the very end stages of the Battle of Armageddon. Actually, the Armageddon story begins towards the end of chapter 16. This is how it ends. Revelation 19, look at verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, Revelation 19:11. Saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. That's his name. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Do you know who that is? That, dear friends, is you and me coming back with Jesus again for his second advent. Verse 15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. Who is he? King of kings and Lord of lords. Who will fight? Who will win the battle that day? His name is Jesus. It is in him, the beloved, the Lord. Today, do we fight against the schemes of the devil? Yes, we do. The forces of wickedness over this present darkness in the heavenly realms? Yes, we do. But how do we go about doing this? Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start wrapping this up. How do we do this? How do we put on? How do we be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might? How do we do that? How do you pull that off? We do it by donning on, by putting on the resources he has provided for us. The scripture calls it the full armor of God, or the whole armor of God. We're going to unpack that one in greater detail in a subsequent message. But how do we stand strong in the Lord? We do so by putting on that which he has equipped us with for today. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. We'll get into that one more next week. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Do you notice how the armor was described? We have such things as what? A belt, we have a breastplate, we have shoes, we have a shield, we have a helmet, we have a sword. Think through this with me, if you will. As the Apostle Paul is writing the Ephesian letter, if you have study notes at the beginning of every letter of the New Testament, you would discover in reading through that the Apostle Paul is imprisoned at this time. That's why Ephesians is called one of his prison epistles, prison letters. Most likely a Roman prison. He would have probably been in somewhat close proximity to a Roman soldier or Roman guard. He would have had a visual of that. What would that guard have been wearing? What would that soldier have been donned with? Might I suggest to you that he would have been wearing that day a belt and a breastplate, shoes for certain, a shield. He would have had a helmet on. He would have had a sword garnered on his side. But I guess the part I want us to look at today is as you look at these different parts of the makeup of the Roman guard, and Paul identifies those things, he also gives to them an attribute. He calls these things, the belt he calls truth. The breastplate he calls righteousness. There's peace, there's faith, there's salvation, there's the Word of God. And these are what the armor is described as. Now, as we begin to wrap up today, can I just ask you a very quick question? With regards to all of these, the parts of the armor and what they are for us. Is there anybody in Scripture that you can think of whose name this is or has these attributes with regards to truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and the Word? There you go. Thank you, my friend. Truth. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to him except through me. He is the truth. How about the breastplate? The breastplate of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:1. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But it is due to him that you are in Jesus Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is either his name or it is an attribute of his. The gospel of peace. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace. The shield of faith. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now, I live in the flesh. In the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me. His faithfulness makes my faith possible. The helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Luke 2:30. Remember the story of Simeon shortly after the birth of Jesus? For my eyes have seen your salvation. He is our salvation. The sword of the Spirit, says it's the Word of God. John 1:1 and 1:14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Now, do you think at all that Paul would have chosen all of these characteristics or these names for Jesus by sheer accident or coincidence? I think not. We'll consider that more in the weeks to come. Does a spiritual battle wage today? Without question. Is our enemy crafty and scheming and formidable and a liar and a deceiver? Absolutely. But as we close today, dear friends, as we study this topic further, with regards to the unseen realm, with regards to spiritual warfare, would you hold on tightly, very tightly to this truth? 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And his name is Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. O Lord, our gracious, gracious Redeemer, thank you that today we can be found in you, in Christ, in the Beloved. And Lord, we know that in those seasons of our lives when we are weak and feeble, that our perfect strength comes from you. And Lord, in these days of spiritual warfare that seems to be intensifying with the passing of each and every day, and the godlessness and the depravity and the perversity of our culture seems to add a new chapter to the book each and every week. Oh Lord, through it all, strengthen your people. Encourage them in the truth of your word. May the joy of the Lord be their strength today and forevermore. And may they be found strong in you. Oh Lord, I pray that you would cause them to be bold, unafraid, unashamed. For we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, today. Oh Lord, I pray that your gospel would go forth, not only from this pulpit and this church, but Lord, from the lives of each individual believer who is here today. May Christ be seen in them. Unashamed, unapologetic, to the glory of your name. Lord, work through us this week, I pray, in the midst of the spiritual warfare in the unseen realm. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, can I set you on your way this morning with a short little hymn. It's 485. Those of you joining us at home, it is the hymn entitled, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. It's not very long. Let's sing it all. It's 485. When you found it in your red hymnal, please stand with me and let's sing together. Let's worship. Let's rejoice. Please stand with me. He's got this. He's got this. Lord Jesus, dismiss your church today, Father. Dismiss this holy, set-apart congregation for your purposes and for your glory. Lord, watch over them in the new week before us. Use them for kingdom purposes, I pray. Cause them to be a blessing to others. May Christ be seen in them. I commit them to you today, Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I pray your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord.